Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, January the 12th, 2024. Hey, got the year right, 15 minutes past the hour, and you are locked and loaded for yet another Friday night live here on this station. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Carrington Nelson. What a week it has been to cap off here on this Friday night. My goodness gracious, all the interviews this week. A lot of feedback. We thank everybody who's participated and everybody who's been on the station this week. It has been a banner week, Matt. You've been here for a lot of it, taking pictures.
I have, yeah. I mean, I think the Audra situation has probably been one of the most interesting things to happen in the city of Marion in a second.
Well, the interview with Miranda on Tuesday was a true exclusive. You know, a lot of people say that, but they're really just getting somebody after the fact. This, we had wanted to hear from her for a month. Everybody had wanted to hear from her. Mayor Schertzer had wanted to hear from her. Marion citizens had wanted to hear from her. And then here she comes, live, and that's the only way to do it, live for 2 hours.
She filled in a lot of holes.
I think she made a lot of friends, and I think she made a lot of enemies. As we left the phone lines open the following 2 days, which continued a barrage of phone calls because of that whole situation.
That usually tends to happen when you tell the truth on things that people don't like.
Well, then we followed up with James Anderson, who was in isolation for his cancer treatments, getting radiation. That's no small thing. And then today we had Jason Schauber rebutting Miranda McGinnis's interview. So who would have thought that? It's a good week to be here.
It really is, yeah.
It's always a good time to be here.
Every time.
You know, I think it's very interesting to me because I was at City Council Monday and I realized the power of what we do here because City Council normally is not well attended. Monday night it was well attended and I think it was because of the conversations that we had had on this show. So I think most people would admit that. There were a lot of people who had never been to a City Council meeting in their life who came because of the things they'd heard on this show. So there you go.
Most people don't like politics as much as I do, but I genuinely, every time I go to a city council meeting, it's just more and more interesting.
You missed that one. That was a humdinger.
I did.
Now, this is a story I haven't told heretofore on this station, and maybe I'll just vent it right now, because it really has nothing to do with anything political, but it's what happened on Monday night. Here's what happened. So sit down in your chair, take a load off for a second. I'm going to tell you a little inside story here, and hope that the person is not listening. Here's what happened on Monday. Okay, so the city council meeting's at 6:30. I get done teaching around 5 o'clock. So I thought, I'm not going to go home. I'm just going to grab a soda, head up to City Hall, see it. Because the last time that happened, Miranda resigned. So I was just sitting out in the lobby when the resignation letter came out. So that's always good to be there a little ahead of time. Get there before anybody else leave when everybody's gone, and you'll get the big stories. So I show up there, and Mary Ellen wants to come to this meeting. So I told her I would come pick her up. I said, be ready like 5:45, so I'll go up to City Hall, and then I'll come get Mary Ellen, then I'll bring her up, and we'll be there by 6:30. We'll be there way ahead of time, because Mary Ellen only lives like 10 minutes from the City Hall. So I go up to City Hall, and I thought, well, I'm going to go over to the auditor's office. So I go over to the auditor's office, and Miranda's in. Now, she had not agreed to do anything at this point, but I go in. She knew I was coming, but I go in, and I go back to her office, and nobody talked to her for a month. So I'm back there talking to Miranda, and she's telling me her story, which basically you heard Tuesday morning, but I'm getting it in the office on Monday. Not all of it, but a good portion of it. And I'm explaining to her why she needs to come on the radio, which is what you do. You got to get the gets. They don't come to you. You can't wait for them to come around. You got to go get them sometime. So I'm sitting there, and we're having this conversation, and I realize it's 10 after 6. And I was supposed to pick up Mary Ellen at 5:45. And city council starts at 6:30. So here I'm on the horns of a dilemma at this point. Because now I've passed the time that I said I was going to be there at 5:45. There's no way I'm going to be there at 5:45. It's 6:10. And if I leave now, it's going to take me 10 minutes to get there, 10 minutes to get back. I'm not going to be at this thing on time. And I want to be there for this thing because this is going to be a big thing because now Miranda's agreed to do the interview and I can see it's going to be a packed house. So I can't just strand Mary Ellen, so I got to go get her. So I run downstairs, I get in the car, I drive over to Mary Ellen's, I get to her house, and she has assumed at this point that I'm not coming. So she's kicked her shoes off. So I pull up, and now Mary Ellen's trying to get her shoes on while she's getting in my car. And she's got her shoes like half on. But and I'm thinking, we got to get back there because now it's like 6:20 and this thing's starting at 6:30 and we're still at her house. So we get in my car, she doesn't have her shoes on. We're driving down the road, and she cannot get her shoes on because it's dark, and we're in a moving car now. And Mary Ellen is not seatbelted. And she's bending over in the car trying to get her shoes on. And I'm thinking, if I hit the stop quick here, like at a stop sign, she's going to bang her head into the dashboard, and I'm going to kill the 40th treasurer of the United States. This is not going to be good. Because then I'm going to make the papers, not the Marion paper, because nothing. If I don't run a dance school or I'm not a female vampire, I'm not getting in the Marion paper. But so we're driving. The whole time I'm driving to city council, she's trying to get her shoes on and not belted in and bending over in the car. I think, oh, my God, this is just. So we get there. Now, this is the part I'm getting to. This is what it reminded. So we get there at like 6:35. So the meeting has already started. They're already in session. So we get up to the second floor. We start to go in the courtroom, and I look in there, and the place is packed. There's not a seat to be found anywhere except way in the front, right over by the mayor and the auditor and the whole gang. So there's everybody seated. The meeting's already in progress. So I walk in. Mary Ellen and I walk in right in the middle of this meeting, walk right through the middle, walk right in front of this guy who was talking. I don't know, who's a lawyer for somebody. Walk right through and sit in the middle, front row of City Hall, City Council, in the middle of their meeting. Now, that was a little stark. Everybody was, and it was funny because when we walked in, there were whispers from people. That's Gus Spears. That's Mary Ellen Withers. That's what you heard. So, you know, the hecticness to get there. But that's my little story from Monday's meeting that people didn't know. See, that stuff you put in a book.
Yeah, is that in your book?
No, it just happened. I gave it to you here free.
Yeah, but we can. There's still time. You can add it.
See, you don't get experiences like that just sitting around watching television.
That's for sure. You're not interrupting a city council meeting watching television.
No, that is a true broadcasting story because that situation could only happen in this business. That isn't going to work if you're like a store clerk or, you know, any other business. It just ain't going to happen. But it happened here. All right, let's take the phone call. Go ahead, caller.
So it's Friday night, and we've all let our hair down. We're relaxing. Are you interested in hearing my little city council story?
Oh, go right ahead. Oh, yes, right. You were at city council. Now vouch for me. I mean, you can't vouch for what happened in the car, but is that a true story that I just told?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Okay, go ahead.
As is the one I'm about to tell you.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Do you remember the point in time when the president, Madam President Stoneburner, had to like shush the crowd, and I think most of that shushing was primarily directed towards my side because you and I were on opposite ends and sides.
You know, we were on opposite sides, but I didn't realize that was for you.
Not me specifically.
Your group.
Like my side. It was kind of like towards my side is where most of the commotion was coming from when she shushed us.
I didn't realize that. I remember her shushing people a couple times, but I don't remember. I did not know it was you or your group.
Yeah. Well, my side, because, you know, it's divided. The room is divided in half. You were on the other side up front, and I was towards the back on the other side. Well, okay. So, for a lot of people, that was their first council meeting they'd ever attended, or maybe, you know, like, for me, their second. So you don't want to. The last thing you want to do is draw attention. You're trying to figure out what your posture should be like. Do you hold the paper that they give you in your hand? You're trying to look all astute and be quiet and pay attention and blend in. You know.
Mary Ellen and I blew right by that night. We just walked right in.
Yeah, you guys didn't do any of that.
There was no blend in for us that night.
No. But picture this. Why this keeps happening to me, I don't know. But picture this. So, you know how in the forefront of the audience, it's seats, it's like chairs, and then the back, it's the wooden benches?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, somebody's talking. I don't know. We're all paying attention. You can hear a pin drop except for the person who's talking up front. And all of a sudden, some dude in the back, I don't know who you are, but thanks a lot for this, dude, rips the biggest, juiciest, wettest fart you ever heard in your life. And I don't know, like, why people can't mess around me, but so everybody's, like, looking, like, everyone's reaction is different. Some people are just trying their level best to pretend like they didn't hear it. Some are scooting away from this guy. Some are, Sheila, my friend Sheila Evans, she mouths to me, was that you? And then I started laughing, and then Robert, the bus washer, is sitting beside me, and then he starts laughing, and it's like a chain reaction of giggles that we're trying to contain, and all I know is Madam President says, if you need to have a conversation, go out in the hallway, and I'm thinking, where that fart belonged?
Now, I have two questions about this. Number one,
Mr. McFarter, if you're listening to this, you know who you are. I'm sorry, but hey, they don't know you. If they don't know you, I didn't say any names. I don't know who you were.
I guess one is a statement and one is a question. Number one, I'm glad that Mary Ellen and I were on the opposite side of the room. That's number one, because we'd had enough trouble with getting the shoes on. I really didn't want to.
Yeah, you didn't want to be in with the gigglers and get shushed.
No, I didn't have the energy to go with that whole thing. And then number two, because of the incident that happened at the fruitcake toss, does flagellants follow you?
I'm beginning to think there's an unwelcome pattern developing here.
You know, you know what's funny, I think I've admitted
the
this.
The whole thing, especially though, when Sheila says, was that you?
That's yeah, like, well, I like that. I like that. Well, that's what you do when somebody, you know, rips one. You find the closest person to you and go, was that you?
Because yeah.
You take it right
that's
off yourself.
You do. Is that what you would have done, Scott?
Well, that's what I'm about to admit here, and I think I've admitted this on the air before, but now people will say it's not true, but I don't do that. I don't have that thing for whatever reason. I don't want to get into the toiletries of life, but
you don't have that embarrassment, or you don't have the ability to fart. I mean,
you know what? I don't.
Your crayons out and draw me a picture.
Yeah, well, I could get the crayons out here, but no, I don't. That wouldn't embarrass me. I wouldn't like the smell, but it wouldn't embarrass me. But number two, no, I don't. I don't have flagellants. I don't know why, but it just. I don't know why, it's strange, but I just don't have it. I've been in rooms with people who do, but...
Dude, I'm telling you what, though, I mean, on that wooden bench, it really, made a loud noise, and I'm like, there was no denying, I mean, there was no playing it off, like, he was just the Lone Ranger back there.
Well, I mean, what do you do, though?
You gotta be kidding me, like, who...
Well, he probably didn't want to get up in the middle of a city council meeting and cause a disturbance. I mean, what do you do in that situation?
Well, why not? That Sulu that sits up front and goes to all those meetings, he got up and went and relieved himself and announced on the way out, water pills. So why, I mean...
You know, it's always a medical, isn't it, when you have to get up? There's always water pills.
I don't know, I was just like...
Stool softener, gotta leave.
It was, I don't know. I guess sometimes that's what you need so you don't take life too serious. Everyone needs a little... in their life just so you can do what we're doing and just laugh about something stupid.
But why can't you go to the bathroom? I mean, what's wrong with saying, I have to go to the restroom? I mean, I don't think this is something we all do in life. We might not want to talk about it, but...
Well, unless you're Scott Spears, you don't just brazenly interrupt a city council.
I know. It was an ugly moment. You know, all the eyes came our way, and I thought, well, you know what? Listen, tough luck. I couldn't be here on time.
You just roll up in there, and if they like it, fine. And if not, that's fine too. Right, Scott?
That went right to the front row.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. And we had a verification of my story, in case you doubted any moment of that. It was absolutely true. I always get the impression sometimes that these stories are very strange, and people might doubt that they actually happened the way that I'm telling them. But there you go.
I had no doubts. I believed you.
Did you?
I did, 100%.
That's very sweet of you.
I was like, yeah, that's accurate.
You're a sweet girl.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop it.
We're having a loving moment to start off the program tonight.
I know. This is so unlike us.
I know. It's not like us at all to have these loving moments.
Never.
So it's very nice.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
While it lasts.
Are you going to slip right back into angry mode?
No. I'm just saying, you know, let's savor this moment.
Well, I don't want to get off on a heavy subject tonight, but I thought this is apt with Martin Luther King Jr. Day coming up on Monday. That speech was given on August 28, 1963, the I Have a Dream speech, which 60 and a half years ago now, not quite 61 years. And I just thought we'd open up. Curious question here. Do you think that 60 years ago, in the last 60 years, that his dream has come true? Because, you know, that's been a thing for school children for many, many years now. They recite the speech. They will probably did that today, since there's no school on Monday. You'll hear it Monday, Sunday night. Radio stations will play parts of it next Monday. It's just a thing. That speech has become probably the most, I bet it's more popular than the Gettysburg Address. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, probably the most quoted speech and known speech in the history of the world. August 28, 1963. Did his dream come true 60 years later?
I think that it did, largely. I mean obviously there's still racism to some scale, but I think that largely it did. Yes, I don't think that is around as much anymore, or anything like that.
What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like there is greater equality. I know he always was, like, against, you know, violence and everything, and he was always, like, a peaceful kind of guy. So I would say, yeah, kind of like what Matt said, I feel like overall it's gotten better, but there's probably still improvements that could happen.
I would have a heart. I don't know. It's very complicated. I certainly don't think it's come all the way true, and I think we've taken an ugly turn in some years recently. But I'll tell you one thing. This is why this speech resonates with me, and it never resonated early in my life. But I remember the night that Barack Obama was elected president of the United States, the night he was elected, not the inauguration. And I remember that people were very emotional that day, even some Republicans were very emotional that day, who probably did not vote for Barack Obama. But this is the first black president. This is a big deal for a lot of people. And people became very, very emotional with that. I wasn't emotional. It didn't hit me that way that night, but I thought that was interesting. So the next morning, I remember I was getting ready, I think, to come in to the radio station. And one of the news channels was replaying his acceptance speech, which I think was in Chicago. And they played a little bit of the I Have a Dream speech. And I thought, I don't know if I became emotional. I don't know if it was that. But it was the only moment during that where I thought, wow, something, this is a first. Something has changed. And it was hearing Martin Luther King talk about these things that he wished would have happened. And what it made me think about was, He's been dead since 1968. This is 2008 when he's elected. And I thought, would he have ever thought that this would have ever happened? And had he not been assassinated, it would have happened in his lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate he didn't get to see that happen. I'm glad he has family members that have gotten to see his dream kind of live out and things improve. I'm sure they were probably pleased in that moment.
I just thought it was interesting just to go and think of what he was saying in 1963, and then here's what happened in 2008.
Yeah, it's crazy that it took that many, what is that, 50 years, 40 years? 40 years? That's 40. Crazy.
Yeah, but I don't even know. It was just, so I have to think that some things happened, but I also then look at other things and I think, ooh, not quite there yet.
There's always going to be improvements that can be made, but I think that it's about, you know, I give it a solid 65%.
Is that good? 60 years later,
we get
to 10% every 10 years, a percent every year.
I mean that's pretty good, yeah.
I don't know.
I think
we all thought it'd move a little faster than that.
I mean
we've had Martin Luther King Day since the early 1980s now.
I mean, so
that should be a Jeopardy category. People have days named for them.
Scott Spears Day.
That's exactly right. Put me in there.
Almost 3/4 of the world is addicted to tobacco or tobacco substances, and it's been at that since basically forever.
Yeah, but I think there was an idea that the awful 1960s, in which you had poll taxes and you had people being beaten and the Ku Klux Klan was very rampant, and you had the Civil Rights Act and you had the Voting Rights Act passed and the Watts riots and all the assassination of Malcolm X, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., I think people thought it would move faster. And here we are.
Progress is hard. Yeah, I mean, I feel like most things that where you're like, oh, you know, you'd think that this would be something that shouldn't be an issue anymore. It's like it's hard. I don't know. I've talked about it in a lot of my classes. Change just takes a long time, unfortunately.
Change does take a long time, but that's showbiz. Now, this is an online program, video program, which was dropped today. So if you want to watch that when this show's over, by the way, go to Exchange, search Scott Spears, and it'll be up there. It's the episode dated today, January 12th, 2024. But we started a subject on that program the other night that we did not finish. It got very heated. I think it was the most heated discussion we'd ever had on that television program. So we're going to continue it here, because apparently it brings a lot of interest in people. Now, this really came off of a discussion that we were having last year, even though it's not of the same tone. But here's the story. Let's just run it down. I want to explain this properly, because the explanation is very important before we actually get into the opinions on this. Okay, and I believe this was from Reddit. I did check back on this. There's one sister who's having an affair with the husband of another one of her sisters. So, this sister goes to the third sister and says, hey, I'm having an affair with our sister's husband. Well, that puts the sister in the middle on the horns of a dilemma, because the sister who's having the affair says, I'm not going to confess at all, but this sister wants to know, should she tell the third sister, because she doesn't want to ruin the relationship or reveal that this is going on. So, what do you do? Who would have thought this would have been the topic that would have caused all kinds of anger and passion the other night? But it did.
I think if you're in the middle, you gotta tell the sister who's being cheated on.
I just think that your sister that's like having an affair with her other sister's husband is already not trustworthy. So we should, like, you grow your relationship with the one sister that's getting cheated on, you guys ban up and forget the other one. Like, that's terrible. Why would you do that to your own sibling?
Absolutely. I'm okay with it.
But you guys are wrong. See, this is what you don't realize, is that you're wrong. Because, first of all, this woman's confiding in her sister. It's a confidence. You don't break confidences. Number two,
I bet the sister who's getting cheated on was pretty confident that her sister wouldn't, you know, be the one that was.
Well, should she be more angry? Just as angry with her husband? Doesn't her husband get part of the blame here?
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it's a two-party game, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so first of all, if you confide something in somebody, even if it's bad, it's a confidence. Usually the bad things are the things you confide in people. Why would you confide something good in people? You're not trying to hide that. So, okay, there's a confidence there. That's number one, why you don't say it. Number two, this woman is clearly saying she does not want to ruin the relationship with the sister who told her this. That's going to ruin the relationship, let me tell you. So if you don't want to ruin it, don't tell. And number three, it's not your place anyway. It's not your job to go and out somebody. The husband, he can tell the truth. The first sister can go to the third sister if she wants to. Apparently she doesn't want to. But you cannot. It's not your job. You have no obligation to do that.
I get that it's not your job, but if your sister that's getting cheated on finds out that you know...
Well, no, I feel like I have an obligation to tell my sister that she's being cheated on if I knew my sister was being cheated on.
Yeah, I think it shows that you care about her. You care about her well-being. Like, you don't want to see her keep being with somebody that obviously doesn't care about her.
Well, okay, so what about the sister, who clearly you have a good relationship, who told you this confidence?
She should have picked somebody else. As we said the other night, why would you confide in the middle sister who is obviously now going to be put in a weird
position?
Wasn't
it nice when we were getting along there for a few minutes? Here's the problem. Number one, again, she knows she's doing something wrong. That's why she's confiding in her sister.
Why can't she confide in her coworkers who don't know her sister, though? Like, she's
so if you're a coworker, you shouldn't tell.
Your coworker doesn't know your other sister. Like, they have no obligation.
So really, this is just about being your sister.
It's the sister, like, you owe them.
So it's okay to have an affair as long as...
No, I'm not saying it's okay. You don't have to tell the other person, though. Like, if one of my friends was, like, cheating on their significant other, like, I don't have loyalty to their significant other. Like, I have loyalty to my friend. So, like, they can come to me and, like, know that, like, you know, that's not my business.
Yeah, but you should, by what you're saying, you should turn on your friend and say, listen, you lowlife, that's disgusting.
No, but you already...
Don't do that.
No, you previously already had loyalty to your one sister, though.
Well, maybe she's closer to the sister than the other sister. You know, families are like that.
Maybe she is closer, but, like, she's obviously conflicted because she posted about it on Reddit and doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, but that's right. She's conflicted. She's not saying, yeah, I should tell her. If she would have wanted to do that, she would have already done it.
Right, and she wants our thoughts, so that's my thought.
Yeah, but I think your thoughts are misguided. Because I think you're saying tell her and you don't realize the ramifications of what's going to happen to the woman who's done nothing. Sister one is no longer going to talk to her because you've outed her. Sister three is not going to talk to you because now there's trouble in that family. She's going to have other things on her mind. The husband certainly, your brother-in-law is not going to talk to you anymore because you've outed that. What have you done?
Either way, you're put in this precarious spot to where if the sister who's being cheated on finds out that she's being cheated on, the sister in the middle is going to lose that relationship because she knew that the sister who's being cheated on was being cheated on.
Yeah, but you can do that two ways. If she says, did you know, you say, no, just lie. Or number two...
just lie.
Well, if you're that worried about it...
Just tell her.
No, if you're that worried about getting a repercussion, lie about it, or say, listen, it really wasn't my business, and I thought she should have told you, or I thought your husband should have told you.
Yeah, but, like, in those situations, like, they shouldn't be doing those things in the first place. So, like, they've already crossed the barrier of, like, what they should be doing, you know? Like, so...
Yeah, but why do you become the moral arbiter to out people who are doing things that aren't right?
Because your sister's the one that put you in that position. Like, you didn't need to know.
No, she didn't put you in a position to be the moral arbiter. She confided in you. She's not asking your opinion. She knows it's wrong. She's just confiding in you.
She should confide in somebody else that does not have a relationship with the person that's being cheated on.
Well, clearly she felt she could trust this person.
I think it's wrong for the sister who's cheating on the other sister to
What is the compelling nature to do that? Why do somebody feel compelled to do that?
To do what?
They're already having the affair. You're not going to unding that bell. Sister 3 is eventually going to be hurt when she hears about it from whoever she hears about it. You're not going to unding that bell.
I think it'll be more hurt that like a whole bunch of people knew when it took all the way up until X point for her to find out.
Yes.
But again, why is it your obligation? Why do you want to get involved in that situation?
Because if everybody says, oh, that's not my business, oh, that's not my business, like a bunch of people could know, and then the sister's just forced to keep being in this relationship where the guy clearly doesn't respect her.
No. Stay out. Go ahead, caller.
All right, I have a scenario.
Go right ahead.
I'm sitting here listening to this, and it's going over in my mind. What if the middle sister did nonchalantly... steer her older sister to a place where she would catch the husband and the younger sister. She's basically off the hook. All she did was kind of suggest that she be at this place at such and such a time.
Ooh, I like that.
You could do that, but again, do you really think there's an obligation on this woman's behalf to out...
If it was my sibling, yeah. I mean, I'd straight out say, first off, I would stop it. Like, no, no, no.
Yeah, well, but now see, here's the thing, because you have to go back to point A, that the first sister felt compelled enough and trusting enough in the second sister to do this. See,
well, that's the first sister's mistake.
Yeah, well, but I don't think it is, because this woman hasn't done it yet. And if this woman were coming to me for counsel, I would say to her, you're not obligated to tell anybody anything.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I know about families. Sisters are tighter than anything I have ever known.
Well, apparently, sisters and brothers-in-law are tighter than...
Try to keep something from your sister.
Well, I don't think it's good to keep things from anybody. All I'm saying is that if I find out that you're doing something, it's not my obligation to out you.
Even if it's your sibling.
Well...
That you love very much, and you don't want to see hurt.
Well, I...
And the longer it goes on, the more they're going to get hurt.
Right, but I think in this particular situation, we could also say that for the first person. Because you can guarantee if you out her to the third person, the first one's going to feel hurt because now Sister 3 knows that you've had an affair with her husband, and now the husband's probably going to be angry that you told your sister, which led to this outing. So there's two people who hate you. And also, you're probably going to be hurt because the sister you confided in has broken the confidence. Went out of her way to hurt you.
Yeah, well, the husband may be left on the outside, but eventually the siblings are going to make up.
Maybe. I just don't, understand.
Not very rarely do siblings not make up after a while. I mean, it might take years, but they eventually make up.
I just think there are certain points in life, if somebody comes to you and says, even if it's a bad thing, and they say, listen, I just need to get this off my chest, I don't know that it's your business to go out of your way to out them.
Then she should have talked to a priest and not her sister.
So it's all about it being her sister.
It's all about being her sister.
Well, I don't know. You know, I get just the way this question is phrased, because she says she doesn't want to ruin the relationship.
Then
well,
she should have kept her mouth shut.
Well, no, this is coming from the sister who hasn't done anything wrong. This is just coming from the sister who was confided in. She doesn't want to ruin the relationship with the sister who's having the affair. So I think she should just be quiet. If you don't want to ruin that relationship, stay out of it.
Yeah, but then that looks bad on her when they find out she knows.
Well,
then you've got more than one relationship ruined for a while anyway.
Well, yeah, but maybe they'll never find that out.
Oh, no. They're going to find out.
You know, it's an unfortunate situation to begin with, because you really shouldn't be having an affair with anybody to begin with.
No,
but,
you shouldn't.
Right. But, you know what? Humans are imperfect, and so are siblings, and I just don't think pouring gasoline on this fire is a good idea. Now, you can try to go to sister number one and say, listen, I think you need to come clean about this. Do you really have feelings for this guy? Do you want to be with this guy for the rest of your life? You've got to come out of the closet on this one.
Yeah, I could see that.
I would approach it that way. That way you don't tick anybody off.
You're going to tick somebody off. No matter what you do, you're going to tick somebody off.
I don't know. I think it's an interesting story. I think it's an interesting situation, because I'm finding out that if you're a priest or a friend or a coworker or in any situation where you're not related, then you're not obligated in the same situation. But you're only obligated if you're a relative.
Yeah, because that's the way family works. You take care of your own.
Well, but the one who's having the affair is also your own.
Even at the expense of another sibling. If the other sibling is doing something like that, like I said, the husband will be the one on the outside. Eventually, the sisters will stick together.
You know, I said this the other night, and the truth of the matter is, if you really don't have proof, and it doesn't sound like this woman does have proof, you could go to the third sister and say this is happening, and I'm guessing the husband's going to deny it. I'm guessing the original sister's going to deny it, and then you might look like an idiot.
And we're back to my scenario.
Yeah.
The middle sister just nonchalantly direct her to where she catches them.
So basically what we're saying, don't tell. There are other avenues to go down here.
Oh, yeah, there's always a way to get around just directly telling somebody.
I think that's right. You know what? If you want to hatch some elaborate scheme, go ahead. If you want to be quiet, go ahead. But just going to her and telling her, which is what the question is here, I think that is a bad idea.
I've known some families that just come right out and do that. And I've known some families that won't do that.
It's interesting. It's an interesting scenario. But, hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, okay. See you later, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The bottom line is, when you have a confidence, you don't tell.
It's the obligation of, that's your sister, and you look out for her. And, like, maybe you'll hurt the relationship with the first sister, but, like, she should face some consequences for her actions.
If somebody did that to me, I have to put myself in the first person's shoes. I would not like it. If I told somebody something because I thought that they were not going to tell, and then they told, I'm going to have a beef with them.
Yeah, but she should, like, as I've said, she should just pick someone different to tell. Like, whenever it's her sister and, like, obviously they all three know one another, that's going to be difficult. Like, if the one sister would have confided in somebody else that doesn't know her third sister, like, then they have no reason to tell the other person because they might not even know them.
Yeah, pick somebody who doesn't have skin in the game.
Too late. It's already out of the bag.
Well, then
that ship has sailed.
I think that sister one's mistaken. If I was the middle sister, I would tell.
Again, I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this, but I guarantee you go to that third sister and you don't have any proof, which I don't think this woman does, except the word, and the word is going to be denial if you tell her, you're going to go down with that ship. You're going to sink
on
that
one. I like his idea of you have them catch her, I guess. You accidentally lead them right into them having the affair.
Accidents in air quotes.
Yeah.
This is why, again, relationships are ultimately flawed. I was thinking about this the other night. You know, I have a lot of fun with making fun of marriage and things on this station, but the truth of the matter is, in today's society, you really have to want to be married. You really have to work at it. It's really got to be something you want to do. And if you don't, if there's even the slightest break in it, you're not going to make it. There's just too much going on today. There's too much social media. There's too many places you can go. There's too many ways to run into and contact other people. There's too many reasons to dislike people. The world is a much more secluded place because of all these things. And you know what? Boy, to be married today, unlike an older generation, it takes work. And if you don't, I think that's the mistake people make. They think it's not going to be work. It's going to be work.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you definitely have to want that, obviously. Like you said, with, like, the so many avenues of, like, social media and ways to contact others. Like, if the other person's not 100% in on it, there are going to be issues in the long run, for sure.
So that's why people's, you know, fluttery, blah, 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 this is the one craziness, to me is that's not real. That's not what you're signing up for.
I don't know how many people realize, though, that they're not, like...
So all this Valentine's Day stuff in the stores, it just makes me angry to a certain degree because I don't even understand, and I can't even tell you what somebody told me. I asked somebody the other day, what's Valentine's Day all about? And the answer I got was so inappropriate that I cannot, anyway, go ahead.
Not for
mixed company. You have to work to be married. Too many outlets.
Oh, yes. I think that a lot of people probably, or the majority of people probably think that they're willing to put the work in for the marriage, because, I mean, I think if people thought that they weren't willing to put the work in, or they thought that, or if they had, like, any sort of doubt, I think that they would probably not do it.
Oh, no, they do it. Because everything's great in the beginning. And then it's not so great. And that's where the work comes in. That's where you got to put in the work. And most people don't want to put in the work. But they don't think about that in the beginning. They don't think about it as work. It's work.
Forever's a long time.
Forever's a long time, but it's work. I mean, it's work to be in a relationship. After that honeymoon phase wears off, it's work.
Yeah, I mean, you know? You have to compromise and... decide that you both want the same thing. I both want to be married, I guess.
We've got some new topics in the next hour, and we've also got a top 10 list, but there's one other topic that I do want to touch on that we did do on the TV show, because I think it's a very broad topic. Well, maybe we'll take the call and then come back to this particular topic. All right, go ahead, caller.
I have a survey for the group of you. Do you believe in true love? And my question on that... premised historically, the whole notion out of that, this whole notion of chivalry and marrying for love. Before, historically, it was a practical matter, contractual, you know, what was good for the bride and the groom and raising a family. But here, over the last several hundred years, we've kind of morphed into this whole notion that you're marrying for romantic love. So do you believe in true love?
Matt, I know the way this vote's coming down, but go ahead. Matt, what do you think?
No, I don't think true love's a thing.
Carrington?
Okay, I want to know, does true love mean, like, there's only one person that you can have true love with, or just that, like, the love being, like what it's about? Like, you're like, oh, I care about this person, like the unconditional, like, love aspect.
I think that the romantics would say that cosmic forces bring two people together, and if you are truly romantically in love, that is enduring. So I would say a romantic relationship that you are meant to be and all that kind of stuff, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, I don't think I believe in, like, a meant-to-be one. Like, it's still a choice, and, like, I think that you could have a long-term relationship work out with several different people, and that there's not one specific person, like, for everyone.
All right, that leaves the big man, Scott Spears.
Well, I'm going to have to fall in the no column on this one, because, if I ever were to get married, it would be for true love of money. That's what it would be. Because if she's got a little bit of dough and, you know, we can coexist that way, I think it'd be fine. I think that's meant to be. And also, I prefer that she be a nurse, because at some point I'll probably need somebody to take care of me, and I want somebody who's got the paperwork.
So you want a wealthy nurse.
Hey, if the wealthy nurse comes down the pike, you know what? All bets are off. Maybe we'll get married.
All right. Can I ask you a kind of a follow-up question? It's another survey.
Oh, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
All right. So what is most important to you between fame, power, influence, and wealth?
Just me or the whole group here?
The whole group.
Go ahead, Matt.
You said fame, power, influence, or wealth?
Yes.
Important in life or important in somebody else?
I think that those are the primary motivating factors in everybody's lives. So, I mean, there's others, but if you were to look back on your life, and I'm talking you, not your spouse or significant other, what would you want to achieve?
Notice love's not one of the choices there, but go ahead.
We already said that doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist, right. So go ahead. Fame, power, importance, wealth.
Influence.
Did I say important?
Yes.
You're right, nothing in this category is important. Go ahead.
I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like those are largely similar things.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think so. Fame is notoriety.
People who are famous are often influential.
But they're different things.
People who have a lot of money are often influential.
But again, different things. You can have a lot of money and not be influential. Mm-hmm. You could be a farmer who had a great crop. You might not have a whole lot of influence.
All right. By the way, I'm gonna have to pick influential.
That's most important in your life. You want to be able to influence others.
Well, I mean, out of the options above, yeah, probably influence.
Okay, Carrington?
I was actually going to pick the same, influence.
Influence?
Mm-hmm.
Really? What are they again? Fame, influence,
power, and wealth.
Power and wealth. Yeah, I guess in that category, influence is probably where you'd go. But to me, it's probably more education, not influence. I don't want to be able to influence other people to do something. I want to be able to give them the information for them to make the best decision for themselves. I don't want to influence them personally.
Mm-hmm.
So objective information dissemination.
Yeah, I want to be able to plop something down in front of somebody. Now, two people might see it completely different, but I want to plop it down and say, make your choice based on this. I don't want to make your choice for you. I don't want to be influential in making your choice, but I want to say, here's the facts of this. This is what can happen. This is what may happen. This is what might fall through. decide based on that. So I want to be the person who's educating the other person. I don't want to influence them.
That's very noble, Scott. Now, have you put any thought to the word of the day? Matt Carrington, don't you think that he should have a word of the day segment?
Yeah, because of the word contretemps the other day, got a lot of attention here on this.
And scuttlebutt.
And scuttlebutt. Scuttlebutt, contretemps, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I think that'd be fun. But you'd have to come up with really unique words like that. And I think that'd be a good side project for Carrington and Matt.
But they need some side work.
Yeah, I would enjoy doing that. I kind of like...
language is very important.
An expansive vocabulary.
Well, I love the word, right now I told you one of my favorite words of the last year is androgynous. I love the word androgynous.
It is. It's not used enough.
No, and it means something so simple, nondescript. But people will say nondescript, or they'll use,
like vague.
Vague. I don't like vague. When you can say androgynous, take out vague and put androgynous in there. You're going to sound about, that's the difference between going to Ohio State and Harvard.
Okay.
Androgynous.
Yeah, that's 1,000 points on your SAT verbal.
You got it. Hey, we're going to break here. Thanks for calling.
All right, have fun.
All right, stay tuned to the program. Hey, it's a hot one tonight here.
Yeah,
stay tuned. Hey, listen, we got to go to break,
oh
lady.
My gosh, fine.
What do you want?
No, whatever.
Go ahead.
Quick. I was just going to say, okay, if we're talking about the difference in Ohio State and Harvard, I've heard that it's semicolons. You're supposed to use semicolons when writing. That's an important part. That's fine now, whatever.
You're so androgynous. All right, we're going to today's word of the day is...
androgynous.
Thank you. We're going to be back in 15 minutes. Get the...
cheese dip.
Cheese dip and come back and join us. Maybe Sour Patch Kids tonight may be the thing. Sour Patch Kids in water.
Yeah.
Boy, it's like you're going to the chair or something.
I know.
We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.